Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 10, day 1 of our study of James and 1st and 2nd Peter. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 2nd Peter 2, 1 through 12. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and touch our hearts with the knowledge of you. In your name we pray, amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. So, with the beginning of chapter 2 here, we return to a little bit more of the really straight shooting that we've been getting from James and 1st and 2nd Peter. And Peter here is reminding us, not informing us. This should not be news to any of us. 2 Peter is not the book that any of us should probably start out reading. It shouldn't be the first thing in the Bible that we tackle. So if we've been at this thing called life or in the church or just breathing for any amount of time, we know that there are different types of people that Peter's talking about here. We should have seen this. We should be well aware of this. And not just in the church, but I mean in life. So we've got charlatans. We've got people that maybe are well-intentioned and good. They're well-meaning, but they're very deceived. And those two types of people are very dangerous in any situation you encounter them, whether it's in the church or it's in any other place that you would meet them. People that are delusional or deceived about, you know, who they are and what they're trying to accomplish, or just straight up charlatans that are just absolutely using you to get what they want. Those two people are terrifyingly dangerous. And it, again, if you've been around for any length of time, you've probably seen both in several different scenarios. But we're focused here on the church. Peter is talking about church life. And there's a special danger in the church world because, you know, if you've got a boss who is delusional or deceived into thinking he's something he's not, you know, you get misery at the office, right? It's painful, but it gives rise to everyone being able to chuckle at, you know, things like the office. You know, you've got this terrible boss who's absolutely not in touch with how terrible he is. And so everyone has encountered that. And so everyone kind of, you know, grimaces and laughs at a show like The Office because it pokes at what everyone's experienced. The church is very different. The church, you're mixing, you know, this lifestyle component, like an office place, like a workplace, where you've decided to go to work there, you decided to go to church there, and you're there, you're volunteering, you're interacting with people, you know, you're making friends. And so it's an important place for you to be just from a societal standpoint. You're there and it matters to you. The people there matter to you, but it's no laughing matter when you've got a situation like that, either someone who's deceived or someone who is a charlatan, because what you're doing is you're throwing on top of that scenario someone who is holding theological realities over you, someone who is could literally, you know, dangle you over hell on a rotten stick. And that is a dangerous, dangerous mix in the church. And Peter is pointing that out. He calls this people who are teaching dangerous or destructive heresies. I mean, they will destroy you. They are designed by the enemy to absolutely destroy your life. The Lord promises that this will come to a bad end for these people, but it doesn't make what they're doing any less dangerous, any less bad. He says that they bring the teaching of the Lord, they bring the name of the Lord into disrepute. And I think we've all seen this. I think if you've been paying attention for any length of time, you've seen this in the news, and this happens. And for whatever reason, the media, they love to pick up on these things a lot of times. The smaller churches, not so much, but if you've been around for any length of time, you've probably known of some stories where this is the case, where the pastor or some leader or some, you know, gifted speaker who goes around, they brought the name of the Lord, they brought the teaching of the Lord into disrepute by their actions. You know, when they're outed for whatever they believe or whatever they're doing, however they're using people. People will take advantage of people in church. So don't be emotionally, it's difficult not to just have this wreck you. It really is. You can prepare yourself mentally, but when these kinds of things happen, and they do happen, and they will continue to happen, I pray they don't happen at your church. But if they do, understand it will emotionally wreck you, but it should not ruin you. You should be prepared to see and deal with these kinds of things. And you should never put up with someone who's manipulative or conniving or trying to use and abuse you. Absolutely should not put up with that in an overseer. Just because someone's the pastor doesn't mean they get to demand your loyalty or respect. You can never demand those kinds of things. And this, what he's talking about here, kind of brings to mind that type of person. And there's tons of them in the church. They seek opportunities out where they can try and demand and command respect, even though no one's really willing to give it to them. But they feel like, well, we're in church and they've got to fall in line. Like abusers, people will find situations like that. So if you find yourself in a position like that, you absolutely shouldn't put up with it. Respect and honor is something earned by actions. And I'm not encouraging people to just be rebellious and backbite the pastor. That's a completely different issue that we're not talking about here. We're talking about if you've got a pastor or a leader or someone who is just not a great person, and they're trying to manipulate you or guilt you into things or whatever, get them out or you get out. They don't have any place leading the church. And there are far too many situations like this. Now, again, if you've got a good person in there and you don't like the way they do things, or they just see things a little bit differently than you, that is a completely different situation. But if you've got someone who is, you see it, that this is going to bring disrepute because of their vices, because of the fact that they're teaching dangerous heresies. Again, I'm not talking about someone who, you know, you don't like this, the color carpet that they chose, or maybe about minor things of theology that you don't like. I'm not talking about that. Absolutely not. That there is no place to make fights and bicker over those kind of things. We're talking about pastors and leaders who, you know, you see that they are using people for their money. They're using people for sex. They're using people for, you know, any list of vices, really bad things that you can conjure up. That is what we're talking about here. We're not talking about small infractions. We're talking about the big stuff. Those are the things you've got to deal with. The Lord says he's going to punish them, but if you find yourself in a position to do anything about it, do something about it or get away. Save yourself and your family, if nothing else. Verse 4, for if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes, and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless. For that righteous man, living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not heap abuse on such beings when bringing judgment on them from the Lord. But these people blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like unreasoning animals, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. Like the animals, they too will perish. So again, what Peter is describing here is not a pastor or a leader who's got a good heart, a well-intentioned heart in the right place, not full of so much deception that they don't see the harm they're causing. We're not talking about, you know, someone, you know, that is what we're talking about, someone who's so deceived they don't see what the harm they're causing. We're talking about people who are, they have good hearts, good intentions, and maybe you disagree with them, or maybe they teach something theologically not terribly important that you differ with. And I don't want to start naming those things because we could make a list 10,000 miles long. What we're talking about here theologically is that they're denying the salvation of Jesus. They're denying the divinity of Jesus. They're denying the power of Jesus. And this is honestly something that in the church world was not terribly prevalent even 30 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago. But today we see this on the rise rapidly, where people are denying the authority of Scripture. They're denying, you know, that Jesus is the only way. I mean, churches, places that call themselves churches, that will deny that Jesus is the only way to God. These are people and churches where there is destruction coming when they meet the Lord. It's not going to be good. And the Lord is saying, if you find yourself in a place like that, He is capable of delivering you from that. If you find yourself in a church that has got an abusive leader who manipulates and grifts you for money or prestige or whatever else, the Lord can come through. You don't need to cause problems where there don't need to be problems caused. The Lord can deliver you, but at the same time, you don't need to put up with it. You need to get out of those situations when there is real problems, when there is real theological danger of people being led astray. There are churches all over America right now that are actively teaching people things that will lead them away. And I'm not talking about minor things. We're talking about the very nature of salvation. We're talking about our relationship to God and the fact that we absolutely are dependent on His forgiveness to inherit eternal life. There is no other way. There is no, you know, God's okay with your sin and okay with the way you are and just kind of come as you are and stay in your sin in this church. That is not okay. That is leading people to hell. And that's what Peter's talking about here. We can't be okay with theology that leads people to hell. Theology that is less consequential, I don't want to say inconsequential, but less consequential. Theology that's not going to turn people away from the truth, that's not what we're talking about. I want to make that very, very clear. We're not talking about things of lesser importance. We're talking about the things of the most importance. And I think as we talk about this, I'm hoping you can get a picture in your mind of the churches that are teaching people, hey, you know, it's okay if you don't believe in Jesus. It's okay if you stay in this sinful lifestyle. You know, Jesus was okay with everybody. He loved sinners. You know, it's all right. We're all broken. We're all sinners. That's not okay. That is not an okay teaching. That will lead people straight to hell because it allows them to never deal with the fact that they are sinners and they have to repent and they need to give their life to the Lord. So those kinds of places, yes, there is destruction coming, and that is not a good word. That's a sad word. but the Lord can deliver righteous people. If you hear my voice right now and you feel like you're in one of those situations, the Lord can deliver you from that. If you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I never thought about it before, but this guy is like, he's manipulative and abusive. Maybe it's not the pastor. Maybe it's a deacon. Maybe it's someone else over you. And you're like, I feel that. The Lord can deliver you from that. Start asking the Lord, what do I do? How do I get out of this? Help me. Help, Lord. What do I do to go away from here? And he will help you. If he can get Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he can get you out of whatever situation you're in, I guarantee you. But you've got to begin that dialogue. Lord, am I in a situation like this? And no, you don't have to light the whole place on fire. You don't have to burn the building down when you leave. You may not be able to convince other people, but you know that this person is terrible. But the Lord can get you out. The Lord really can get you out. And these places are going to exist. If they existed when Peter was on the earth, like an eyewitness to Jesus, if they existed under his watch, they're definitely going to exist now. They're not going to stop until the day Jesus returns. Just absolutely not. They're going to be there. And you may find yourself in one of those situations. And again, pray and hope for the best. But if the Lord, if it's time for you to get out, get out. Absolutely get out. And there are places where there is freedom. There are churches. There are so many good churches. Most churches that name the name of Jesus are really good places. And they have their flaws, absolutely. And the pastors and leaders, they have their flaws. We're not talking about minor things. We're talking about the big stuff here. Get out of those places that get the big stuff wrong. And find a place that gets the big stuff right. And where you learn to live and love other people in the midst of the small stuff. We've gone over our time for today, but this is an important topic. And if you have any questions or comments, this is charged stuff. It really is. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to me. You can send an email to me@darrenhibbs.com. You can go to 10weekbible or darrenhibbs.com and find contact links there. I would love to dialogue with you on this subject if you find yourself in the midst of a difficult circumstance. But for the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.